Welcome to Rice to Meet You, a comedy podcast about Asian culture. Before we start, I'd like to shout out our Rice Emperor patron, Gabriella Bromley. Thank you so much for supporting Rice to Meet You. Evelyn and I, we really appreciate it. And now, on with the show.
A friend of mine is really lucky. He thought about coming out, but he was afraid to. His parents knew, like they knew for ages. So they've done so much research waiting for him to come out. And finally, one day when he was dumped by one of his sort of ex-boyfriend, and he cried in his mom's arms, "Mom, something I need to tell you, I'm gay." And then his mom's like, "We know, but are you top or bottom? Because that..."
Such good food.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you're here. Taiwan.
If my mom is your mom, you'll be here.
We're going to get into it.
Escape your mom.
Yeah.
Food, freedom. I'll always go for freedom.
Freedom. Spoken like a true Asian boy.
Speaking of which, let us introduce our guest.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for listening to Rice to Meet You, a podcast about Asian culture. Today we have our guest, Quan Wen.
Hi.
Hi, Quan Wen.
Hello. Hi, Evelyn. Hi, Nigel.
Yes. Quan Wen is a Taiwanese comic based in London.
Yes.
Yes.
And I want to bring up the first time me and Quan Wen met was in Berlin. And we were doing a show together, or we were on the same bill. And before I got there, or when I got there, people came up to me and they were like, "Oh, Quan, have you met Quan Wen?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." They were like, "Oh, yeah, we thought he was you." And I have a photo where we've met. If we can put it up in our Instagram feed.
Yes.
This is a photo from the first night we met.
And I missed my long hair, yeah.
We look, you with your long hair, me with my short hair, and we look pretty identical.
Honest mistake, man. I wouldn't even say that's racism.
No, but, well, that was the era when I was being told to look, I actually resembled the Taiwanese president at that time. And if you know the...
You resembled the president.
Yeah, the Taiwanese resident is academic, and she inspired one of my earliest gags that I looked like a lesbian academic. And that's one of my earliest gags I've been doing. And that day before you arrived, I was there and I was very new. I was only first year in stand-up as the open mic comic in Berlin, and I got there and they treat me with so much respect. I just thought, why? Why are they so nice to me? And eventually they mentioned something like, "So Evelyn, how would you want to?" And I thought, there's some confusion over there. I promise, if I ever do drag Evelyn, I might take up your name.
Yes, I would. Evelyn Cock. That would be your drag name.
Not Cock to Avia. Evelyn Walk, maybe.
Evelyn Walk. Oh, I would love it. Please, yeah, drag in my name.
Please do Evelyn Walk.
Yeah.
The drag queen.
Oh, my God.
We need royalties for that if you ever do that character.
And then they were like, "I'm terribly sorry." I think I really championed gender fluidity first, like, before I even became like much bigger. And so she was drawn and guilt of actually evidence enacting racism, like, right in a room. And then she hoped the whole thing was over, but I just have to bring it up again. And then Evelyn was told what happened when she arrived. So
yeah, it was so funny. I enjoyed it so much. And I think we even, both of us, riffed on it when we were...
I think we did, yeah. We created a two-act callback.
Yeah.
Evelyn and Evelyn.
Evelyn and Evelyn. Quan Wen and Quan Wen.
So where are you from originally, Quan Wen?
I am from Taipei, which is the capital city of Taiwan. My mom, however, is from the central mountainous area. It's from a village called Bamboo Mountain. I'm not even making this up.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like... That sounds like
every Chinese restaurant.
Yeah,
Bamboo. No, but it sounds very nice in Mandarin. And
what's in Mandarin? You can say it.
So in Mandarin, I'll say Chinese is Zhushan, but in Hokkien or in what we call Taiwanese is Disan. And it's literally Bamboo Mountain, because when I go there, all the dishes, about 80% of dishes will be covered or made up of bamboo. So the soup will be bamboo. You have pickled bamboo. You will have bamboo fried with pork, and you will have bamboo with, I don't know, some turnip. There were just so many bamboos possible, and different shape of bamboo, different colors of bamboo, different types of bamboo.
Again, this sounds like if a race
bamboo over. It's like if there's going to be a sequel of Kung Fu Panda. I think this is what might take place. They've been sent to
Bamboo Mountain.
Bamboo Mountain.
But Doosan in Mandarin, it sounds beautiful.
It sounds beautiful. Doosan,
you know, because Mandarin words, there's so much meaning into one character.
Yeah.
And then they put them together, they sound nice, they roll off the tongue well. But then you translate it to English and it, ugh, Bamboo Mountain. My God.
Our topic today is about being gay in Asia. We haven't even get anywhere close to that.
Growing up gay in Asia.
We are getting there.
We're getting there.
You're gay.
I'm gay. I'm big one. I think the line comes from a Hollywood movie. I can't remember which one that is. I'm proud of it. It's not proud of it anymore. The society, time has moved on so much. It's just so average. It's like it's part of me, but I don't think I need to flash it. Mm-hmm. I remember going to Stockholm in 2013. Can I say, as a gay traveler, that's one of the most boring city you want to for gay people and gay men in particular, I don't know about lesbian, but when you go traveling, you want to check out what's the local club, what's the other scene, or cruising, etc. And Stockholm, Swedish, they are so open-minded. You go into gay bars, they have babies. They have family, like straight family with babies. And I say that, I wish we could go backwards just a little bit.
Yeah.
It is not fun. Now, it is sweet, but it's not fun.
You want that underground.
Yeah. I want that feel. It's like, changing diapers.
It's too boring because they don't stone you to death for being gay.
No, that is the, maybe because I grew up at that time and I kind of remember the, I wouldn't say oppression, but sort of the social pressure and sort of discrimination. But at the same time, the scene was fun. But I don't think it's the progressive scene nowadays that destroy it. It's more that the internet and the sort of app, the sort of social media kind of destroy the whole thing. Because if you want to feel you were not alone, you just have to go to a gay bar. And that's where suddenly you don't have to hide. And everyone you turn to will understand who you are, and you can talk to them. You can take off your guard. And also, if you want sort of casual sex meeting, that's where you go. But nowadays, you don't, because people are so accepting everywhere. But specifically, apps like Grindr. So you no longer need to meet people by going to a physical space.
Yeah.
You know where, and you know they always exist. You know the community is there. Mm-hmm. But in the past, whenever you feel like you have to pretend to be someone else at work, at school, and it's only when you go to a gay bar, you feel like, finally, I'm with my people again.
My community.
Yeah, it's a little bit of escape.
How are you?
I am 39.
You look 12.
I know. It's that gene. Oh. Wow, if I look 12, I hope I don't attract the wrong sort of man.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I have the same type that we attract, just 50-year-old divorcees.
Yeah,
they want to go to Asia.
Yeah, I feel like they think I have the potential to satisfy their worst craving and desire. I probably do, but but yeah, Taiwan, it was, you don't talk about it too much when I was younger, but it was never a life-threatening, in most cases. It was not that big a problem.
Oh.
Yeah, you get sort of social prejudice, but legally, the reason people say Taiwan is the most progressive country when it comes to gender politics in Asia is because our neighbor are so bad.
In comparison,
basically, yeah. It's just like, because our neighbor's bars are so low. The statistics say that our prides are attended by more than 130,000 people, one of the recent ones. And I know for a fact that Malaysian gay men flew in because they wouldn't be able to openly enjoy like a street party.
No, don't do it in Malaysia. Just keep it to yourself. Fly to Taiwan, get on Grindr.
How was it growing up a gay person in Taiwan?
My mom knows. We still sort of debate about this. She always pretends she's okay, but she's not completely okay with it. I'm not sure whether my dad, I think he knows, but it's one of the things we don't talk about openly. So
you never really like came out to your family?
Basically, my mom questioned me many, many times, and once I just couldn't bother. I would have sort of emotional.
What did she question you? Are you gay, son? Like continuously?
Yeah, something like that. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Or like, why aren't you married? Or
yeah, yeah. And I, what did I used to say? I just say it's none of your business. And she'll be like, I'm your mom. Of course, this is my business. And say, you're such a horrible mom. And then we just end up in fight. But that's my strategy. Just
that's
get
a distraction strategy.
Yeah, exactly. Nigel knows me.
Yeah, right. You're a horrible. Are you gay, son? You're a horrible mom.
That's a good one, right? Because I know that there's always no end to that fight. You just drag her energy away to something else.
Yeah. Like, Pro tip for Asian children out there.
Yeah, and then she would be like, how dare you talk back? I would hate you, hate you. You know, just distract her from the sort of are you gay or not discussion. So my mom had a very strong belief system coming from the small village. And that's why where my mom and I had the most clashes. Because I was raised in the capital city. And because I was encouraged to learn English, so I got in touch with sort of Western belief system very, very early. We constantly had this fight. And she would say something like, why spend money to make you learn this language? I didn't ask you to learn their sort of corrupt culture. I say, Mom, sorry, it's inherently combined. You can't turn it pink.
I'm so sorry, Mom. I mean,
obviously I didn't do it in this accent.
Stop it.
So either I would be completely not fluent in English, or I'll be able to work internationally, but behave like a Western child. It's just either was the choice.
Another way to distract your mom from you being gay, just tell them you're a comedian. Tell her, I'm a comedian, Mom. Are you gay, son? I'm a comedian. Why do you do this to me?
This is true, but it came so many years after the fight. But in hindsight, it probably would have been this wise choice. Is that what you did?
Well, I'm not gay, so I don't have that problem.
Oh, I tried, sorry. I love him to be, but he's not, ladies and gentlemen. And however you identify yourself.
So what happened? When did you finally tell her?
I need to explain. I was born in 1980. So when I was growing up, Taiwan was just coming out of the last leg of a dictatorship. So I think my experience is really overlap with Taiwan's sort of path to democracy.
Oh.
And it makes a whole lot of difference. So when I was much younger, they want the society to be a normal society with lots of nice social rules. And at that time, for example, if you go outside not wearing the uniform from your high school, people would call your high school. And if you wear the uniform from your high school, you go to the cinema and you don't stand up at the start of the film to sing to the national anthem, they would look at what your student number is and call your school and report you. It was that kind of society. Yes,
we all have student numbers, man.
On your shoes.
Yeah, your little like emblem you iron on your shirt.
Nothing but a number.
Yes.
Evelyn looks fascinated. It's like, wow, what a different way of growing up.
Oh, yeah. Like in Sweden, it was like... You just wore your normal clothes.
Ugh, you and your and Western take freedoms.
And take, exactly. We took so much drugs because we didn't have
Western decadence,
uniforms.
The corrupt culture.
I went to an interview recently and the hiring person is a Chinese woman. But it took me completely by surprise because she adopted her husband's name.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't suspecting. And I showed up and said, what? A Chinese woman? I was like, this is not a fair play. Like, if I had known as a Chinese lady trying to hire me, I would have prepared my interview very differently.
In what way? Tell me. How would you make it different if it were a Chinese woman?
I would really study. I would really. I'm a tax accountant. I just need to say the fact. And being a tax accountant means that every time they change the rules, you have to be able to tell them what the latest one is.
Yeah.
So in theory, I've worked in this industry for so long. Most jobs, you just go and you have that experience just to explain what you're like as a team player. But if you go into the unfortunate kind of interview for accountant, they say, so according to the latest financial act, what is the income tax rate? You know, they could
a little pop quiz.
They can, but normally they don't need to because you can find all those information in a system on the internet. But if they want to trick you, they can. So I was shocked when I saw the Chinese lady, but she didn't trick me. That was good. However, they were questioning my gap in my CV. So I went to Berlin. I lived in Berlin 1 year. It's midlife crisis. That's how I started comedy. And that's when I met Evelyn.
Yeah.
And then she was asking, so explain this years of gap. I said, I went to Berlin and I tried to just move there and start a new sort of new life in different city. So I spent a year learning German and I got to the C1 level, which is what you have to be able to demonstrate if you want to apply for a local university. And I was hoping then I can apply for a job. And then Brexit happened, blah, blah, blah. It was the official story. And then she was like, what took you so long to get to C1? I thought,
Chinese lady.
I know, and the music in my mind was like, Emma Bunton, what took you so long? I was like, what? I mean, like, girl, 1 year to C1 ain't too. It's not really 1 year because I had some rudimentary German knowledge before I went, but I mean, still, come on.
Yeah. Only an Asian person would ask that.
Yeah.
Why do you have no achievements? 1 year to C1? Yeah. My son did it in 2 days when he was in my womb. C1 in 1 year.
I had this
what
one.
What did you need to learn? Hello? Goodbye? Where's the library?
What is the German government's attitude on quantitative easing? I don't know. I have this gag. It wasn't meant as a joke. It was just a throwaway comment. I was like, why are you guys applauding for Tom Daley's bronze if he's from a Chinese village? The village will be erased from the map. And then look at the face of horror from Britain. Like, oh, there's a potential to be a joke here. But genuinely, if you win ones back home, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just,
you will get sent to the coal mines if you get bronze.
Yeah, we put so much faith in you, so much money in you. You disappointed
people
us.
People starve because of you. We gave you meat. People
you
are
got
dying.
Protein.
Yes, and you win bronze.
We're going
to your family.
We are going off all the time.
When did you know that you were gay?
I think I was in primary school.
When you came out to your mom, was she like the interviewer? What took you so long?
What took you so long?
I knew before you were conceived.
Yes. We want a gay, overachieving son.
Yeah.
No, genuinely, I came out to my friends when I was in university, 20 years old, before I even full-formed my gay personality. So it was easy. But I know people who only came out in their 30s, and people were like, it's not worth the wait. Everyone fucking knows for ages. Like, we were just waiting for you. We've been censoring our pronouns around you long enough. That, how was your holiday with your girlfriend and then this kind of in the closet gay person would say, well, it was great. So my partner and I went up as my partner forever. Like the champions of the gender neutral pronoun way before
anybody else.
Yeah, so it was a bit difficult. So when I was in high school, I knew, and when I want to meet people, you have to go. The gay bar would be very dim light, and they'll be hiding in the alley or sort of basement, and you don't really know how to get it. At that time, I had internet, but it was dial up, so I have to wait until the family sleep. We go to the living room for the only computer for the family.
And then you wake the whole family up because the dial-up was so loud.
I would use blanket. I would use blanket to cover the whole thing.
Yes, oh, the modem, yes.
And just that. And hope no one wakes up. And at that time, I found a chat room called gate.com. But it's the chat room when you want to find someone, you have to physically join a room. And when the capacity is full, you just have to wait. You click on, it was ICQ era,
ICQ,
right?
ICQ, yes.
Oh my God. See, with the fish.
I'm not joking when I'm saying
that's where the gay people go, ICQ.
You talk to people and there's no picture. There's no link. They only have stats. And you actually have to talk to each other a bit more. And whereas now, for gay men, they were asked to see your pictures right away.
Yeah, it's a send them a dick.
As you said, see your dick and abs.
I know. It was right. Even before a webcam, Logitech. Remember?
Logitech. You clip onto your monitor.
My parents still have a Logitech
the little
webcam.
Little circular ball.
Yeah.
Where has company gone? Where's Logitech? Is it still a
company.
It's still around, yeah. My parents bought that. They had one from the 90s. It broke when it got... And another one, just the updated version of that Logitech camera.
I think it's actually a better idea because if you don't want any surveillance, just remove the webcam. Whereas now I have to use BlueTech to cover that little hole on my laptop just to make sure.
I have a little post-it. But you were saying you like the fact you needed to get out and meet your community rather than be online.
See, I'm ambivalent towards that because I like how society is now, tolerant, but I miss that sort of small excitement to go into places only I belong and certain people belong because now it is It's no criticism to certain girlfriend, but when there are too many fat hacks in the gay bar, it can be a bit annoying.
What? Fat hack?
Have you never heard of the
term?
No. I'm kind of a fat hack.
What's the definition?
I could tell, Evelyn.
What's a fat hack?
A straight woman who just hangs around with gay men.
Yeah.
Stop being a fat hack, fat hacks. You're ruining Quan Wen's joy.
No, and they didn't. And too many of them, because too much of something is bad. In general, they are fun. But because there's no equivalent of a lesbian who like to hang around straight men. I think on Wikipedia, they say the female version is called, a male man, straight male, like to hang around lesbian women. And the term is called dykey likey. I just think it sounds very...
dykey likey.
Dykey likey. It's still very nasty.
Yeah. It sounds hard. Fag hack sounds kind of cool and
no, but hack
short.
Hack is very pejorative, though. It's like old, undesirable...
Yeah, but you say it out of love, though, right? It's like, oh, she's my bitch, you know, that kind of vibe.
Well, I know some girls can be offended by the term, but there's the quickest way to describe that visually.
Yes.
Speaking as a fag hag, it's very lonely women.
Margaret Cho has some great set talking about being a fag hag going to gay bars and then being abandoned by the gay best friends.
When they find somebody to sleep with.
Yes. Yeah. And if you want to know... Oh, so Modern Family, there is the gay family, right? Mitchell and Cam.
Yeah.
And they have
Banks.
Yeah, there's a great character who is basically like advanced level of hack. So how did we even come? We are just going over the pace. Yeah,
no, we love the tangents.
Love it.
Yeah. I was just trying to get
it's
you.
It's way more interesting than growing up gay. We don't give a shit about that. I don't hear about fat hacks.
Okay, so
we're gonna get back to
so
that.
So the difference being the first time I trying to find the gay bar in Taipei called Funky, and it's now
Funky.
Yeah,
what a cute name.
It was such a different time because if you go into Funky and when they start to play music after, I think after 9 or 10, everyone just do cha-cha-cha. Like you can't dance anything else. Like the whole room will be marching back and forth like a really bad computer-generated graphic and just all dancing cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha. So like communal dancing.
Yeah. Cha-cha-cha.
How do you do cha-cha-cha?
Cha-cha-cha, just like...
The old Asian parent dance, right?
No, just like... One, you need to ask Shelley Ballas on Strictly Come Dancing. No, because you move back and forth like ta 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 cha 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 cha.
Oh. Yeah, you shake your butt a little bit.
That's hard funny.
I don't know too much about it.
Is it a way you might be pairing up with different people? But I think the bar wasn't able to enforce this sort of unwritten social rules. I remember going back to Funky in the 2000s, and then the younger people started to say, we don't care. We don't want to dance this old-fashioned stuff.
Yeah, it's lame. I want to twerk.
It is lame.
I want to twerk in Funky.
Yeah.
I'm not even gay. I just want to twerk.
I want to see Nigel twerk. That'd be funny.
No, let's not do that. That's a little bit offensive.
Nigel, don't say things you can't deliver. Right? Don't make promises.
Patreon-only episode. Nigel twerking.
Nigel twerking.
Yes.
That's great. Do just do a little story. Boomerang.
If you want me to twerk, shoot me a DM. I might make it happen. Hey, Evelyn, your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you want for it?
Oh, Nigel... I would love some support.
Some support?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean some support for Rice to Meet You podcast because we're self-produced.
That is true. So how can people do that if they want to support you? What can they do?
They can go to our Patreon page where they can sign up to be Rice Emperors. For $20 a month, you guys will get exclusive bonus content, you'll get tickets to our shows, and you'll get to know about Rice to Meet You news before everybody else.
And we'll give you a shout out too. Doesn't it sound great? Not everybody can be a Rice Emperor though, Evelyn. What else can they do?
They can become Rice fans for $5 a month. And in that case, they still get the bonus content.
That's one bubble tea a month.
Yeah.
Feel special.
Support Rice to Meet You. Become a Patreon. And make my birthday dreams come true. Back to the show.
I really like the weddings I've been to since I came to London. It's just a small, very cute affair, limited to the real friends and family. It's not like that in Asia. The wedding's never about you.
You just invite anybody. You invite the person you see at the bus stop.
If you can afford,
you invite everyone.
I think South Asian have the most like exaggerated version. But even in East Asia, where your family can afford, you would just make as big as possible.
Yes. Yeah. Each table is 10 people.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine told his mom, I only want a small wedding, just 20 tables.
Yeah,
and that's 200 people. And his mom said, just only 20 tables. You want people to think we're poor?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want people to think we're poor, is it?
Yeah.
20 tables.
And also, they give you, but the guests give you money as well.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yeah, but not enough to cover the wedding costs.
True.
And they give you the money, and then you, when they get to the reception, whoever's at reception have to take out the cash in front of them and count the money in front of them. You know, like lick your finger and going through the paper notes and then write down, okay, this guest, how much has this guest? Hey, it's true. I'm not joking. It's not joking.
Wow.
I think they do that. Yeah, I think you're right.
Wow. Because I know in my relatives, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to my work friend's son's cousin's wedding, and we have to give like $1,000 HK dollars at least. But it's interesting because it is that thing, they invite everyone they know.
Yeah,
because you feel
your primary school teacher, secondary school teacher, the one weird uncle who touched you when you were a kid. He gets an invite. Wow.
My brother's wedding, I think there were about 40 to 50 tables.
Ooh,
and the kind of way, because my mom runs a business. So my mom's suppliers, my mom's bankers, they will all come to the wedding.
You are a crazy rich Asian.
I'm not crazy rich.
We're going to get into it.
I'm a normal person.
You're a normal rich Asian.
English, Western, you're a Western corrupt culture. You are rich, mate.
He's a crazy rich Asian.
In the West.
Oh, don't typecast me. But the funny thing is, because it's such a communal thing, your wedding is not just for you. They tend to have like local politicians speaking at the wedding. And,
oh, wow.
And you have politicians like things like, I've known the newlywed when they were younger, or I've known the groom when he was a little boy running around. So this is why our benefit policy is very important. Please vote for
me. Are you serious?
They had to plug their campaign.
Using their wedding.
I know. It's just like, and if you go to the countryside, I don't know whether it's still the case, but when I was a kid, I went to the wedding in the countryside. So you don't have like a restaurant. It's banquet on the side of the road. And they have the best cooking, but they were ask a strip tease, like strip dancers at the wedding, and you just look at all these old men and say, take it off, take it off, take it off.
At the wedding. Not at the
funeral,
like,
as well.
Strip tease.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. We call that the beef meat performance.
Beef meat
performance.
Neurotown. Yeah.
Wait, what? You have to explain this now.
I think you need to visit Taiwan. I will take you around to
I would
see
love
really
to
weird
Taiwan.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to see that.
But weird that's shit. Like, that's something you do at the stag do, isn't it? Like the bachelor party.
Trust me, I'm from the capital city. I was equally shocked. There's a lot of fun things going on.
Old men, just take it off.
Take it off. Twa, twa, twa.
Who? What? To who? Both.
To the dancers.
Stripper.
Oh,
not
stripper.
The bride.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that to the bride. Yeah, we're not gonna. Nobody's gonna fuck you anymore. So take it off. We don't care.
But who? Why? Why do they have strippers at the wedding?
Because it was considered a custom. It's just like a usual kind of performance. You just have. Yeah.
That's
why you're the most progressive Asian country.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't love gay people and not have strippers at your wedding.
That's not that
go-go
that,
dancers.
I would say it was definitely more prevalent back then. Now you probably don't see a lot more, but it comes from the culture, right? I think it's like old men dictate everything.
Oh yeah.
So
a gay wedding there is like a Magic Mike scenario.
I wanted to say
I don't know. A gay wedding was finally legalized in May this year, I think.
2017.
It was it 17?
Yeah, 2017.
No, I think 2017 was when the Supreme Court had a ruling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think 30% or 40% were in favor of, and it was unthinkable 10, 20 years ago.
So yeah. 40-60, you lost 40-60.
Not as close as Brexit, but we did lose. But what the government did was that because they are legally obliged. It was Supreme Court, but the society was not in favor of it. And one of the questions asked was, are you in favor of amending the civil code so that marriage no longer defined between a man and a woman? And what they did is, instead of changing the civil code, they proposed a different set of legislation and used a very technical jargon to say this legislation is meant to pave the way for the Supreme Court ruling number 17 blah 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 blah, and basically just allow same-sex people to get married. So you just use some sort of bureaucratic way and allow this to happen.
So they fooled Taiwan into legalizing it.
The Chinese accounting interviewer so proud of this right now.
Yeah.
But then, some people are upset for a while, but life goes on. It's just like other people get married. It has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with
You don't have to go.
So there were no riots. I mean, it wasn't... I'm sure people who voted down... were not pleased, but there were no riots and life goes on.
Yeah,
and also invite them to a gay wedding. I bet it would be great.
Yeah, you'll turn all those people into fag
Not packs. Everyone can have Liza Minnelli, though. You know?
Oh my God, Sex and the City, that scene where they have Liza Minnelli at the wedding.
I want Swan so, too, but what if they poo during the wedding?
Why didn't they poo?
What if, like, because they just shoot the scene with all the beautiful swans, right? But
if
you have birds at your wedding, they are going to be chaos. And also now...
They're trained. Those swans are trained.
Taiwanese kids are raised like white kids. I'm sure there will be some kid trying to pluck some feather from a swan. The swan go attack the children. What,
is that a white kid thing to pluck a feather from a swan?
Well, that's my impression of...
to not behave.
I love kids a lot more before I came here, I have to say.
And really?
Yeah, although I'm not a big fan of my nephew. I'm hoping he never listened to this episode, but oh God.
Oh, we're leaving this in. We're tagging your nephew.
Yeah,
in the
we're
post.
Gonna do that.
Okay. Judge me on this one. When you're having a meal and a kid constantly stand up to sort of tap basketball around the table, that's rude, right?
Tap what?
That's very rude. Oh, to dribble a basketball around the table when you're having a meal?
Yeah, that's a bit annoying.
Does I'm like, first, I look at him and say, look at your dad. You're never going to be a tall guy. So don't play basketball. It's a waste of time. Yeah, you're not like me. Like, uncle is tall, but your dad isn't. So you're not going to get a gene.
Yeah.
Give up.
So what does your brother say? What is, he's not disciplining the kid?
My brother is quite often not at home having dinner because he has a lot of like business meals. Okay, please, this never reached my family. But my sister will be like, the kid is just growing up, so we shouldn't be so harsh on them.
No, your kid's a cunt. Put the basketball down. He's going to be short and a failure of a basketball
Okay, so
player.
I was like, see, I grew up, I spent at least 10 years on the detectorships. I was like, so what I'm going to do is, and I grab the ball and I reach high up and then this gap between the ceiling
and the fridge.
And he just couldn't grab it. He just jump.
Man,
just couldn't grab it.
You are a
and he
psychopath.
started to hit me. He said, I hate you, uncle. I say, whatever. Not my problem. And I just went on eating. I say, if you don't eat now, no one's going to care when you cry hungry later.
That is some good Asian parenting.
Yes.
Like your
you
sister.
Calm about it, too.
Yeah.
I know. At that moment, I have the chill down my spine. Say, oh, my God. I'm harsh like my mom. I mean, like, I hate her, but I'm exactly like her. So
we turn to people we hate, man. Yeah, we do.
At least I'm honest about it.
I think, honestly, when it happens to us, we don't understand what's going on. But I'm so thankful that my mom and my dad were so strict on me.
You see, but
I'm a good person.
I'm a harsh.
I know how to behave.
I'm harsh and fair. And the fact I do this to my nephew doesn't make him like me any less.
No, it actually, yeah. I think it puts boundaries and it makes him respect you.
Yes. So to quote Russell Peters, white parents, please hit your kids.
Yes. This comes up in every episode.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know what the law in Scotland is about, but
hit your kids, hide their basketballs. You're never going to make it in the NBA, so quit now.
On top of the fridge.
Yeah.
So was it very strict? Was your mom very strict on you growing up?
Oh, God. Before I knew it, her face would land on my...
Her hand.
Slapping that face. Yeah, her hand would land on my face before I even knew it. And what I would be hit with, depending on which room we are in, So I've been hit by bamboo stick or broomstick.
Bamboo stick.
That's where I'm from, right? It just goes out.
Yeah. Bamboo mountain.
Yeah. I think I had it so much. I had enough. I have to say, I'm quite a rebellious kid after a certain age, because I was a goody-goody for a very long time. One time, my maternal grandpa was visiting, and he was in a living room. And mom was saying something ridiculous. My mom's the kind of mom, she used to be, if I got 98 out of 100 from my math quiz, not even like the big, just a quiz, I get total for not trying hard enough. So after years of this, I went almost insane. I fought back. I was fighting my mom in front of my maternal grandpa. I think he almost choked on his tea. He thought I was one of the most sort of submissive, the one of the best behaving grandchildren of his whole bucket of grandchildren.
The whole bucket.
And I was fighting his daughter right in front of his eyes. So yeah. Yeah.
Just be, yeah, talking back to your mom.
Yeah, I think my mom eventually probably was told up by my grandpa saying that you have some better parenting to do. My mom would say that you're lucky because auntie, but like her elder sister. So apparently my cousin had curfews and she got home after like 9 or 10 p.m. When she opened the door, the slipper flew out right in her face.
Classic.
And then I'm going to stay away from the mic and I'm going to shout. My auntie will say, like, how dare you come back, you little brat? Have I not told you to be a better behaving kid?
Great impression of your auntie.
If only you guys understood, I could do that in Taiwanese, even fun.
Do it.
Something like that, right? Because I learned all my dialect from my grandma and auntie, so I just automatically become an elder, angry lady when I speak Taiwanese. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to get back to your coming out to your mother.
Right. My mom would wonder why I didn't, because I'm quite feminine, but I'm tall enough for an Asian man, and my family is doing all right. I had good schools.
You're an attractive bachelor.
Yes, even though I look so feminine, I'm supposed to be an attractive bachelor. But Asian girls,
they want to keep up appearances.
Yes, yes. When they look for a date, they are less weighed by big muscle or a pair and giant package.
They
want to look for something. In Mandarin, we say sangao, but that word means like tall and high at the same time. So they want a guy who's physically tall, who has a high salary. And what's the third one?
I don't know. I don't
I think it's like
good family,
high education,
high facial value. Basically means like handsomeness, but not like a muscly man. But they want someone who they get a kind of K-pop.
Who showers.
No, our standards are high, man. Like Asian women standards on Asian men, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. But Asian men as well on Asian women, right?
No, I don't care. Listening, hit me up.
Nigel's a slut.
I'm not the best person to be asked about. But this go back to where I'm supposed to have a girlfriend easily if I want to.
Yeah.
But people wondering, they've been talking. So how is that your second son doesn't have a girlfriend? It doesn't make sense. And then she will then question me. She's a businesswoman. She has no time to wait. Are you gay?
You're a horrible mom.
Exactly. Thank you, Nigel. Timing was impeccable. And it became such a problem that I fear being left alone with my mom.
Oh, because she would just pester you about, about this.
My mom was basically like, I refused to be left in any physical space alone with her for many, many years. So in a way, it was a relief that eventually had to come out, because at least we can just confront each other. I'm not just afraid. Yeah. So she's like, I want to go climb the mountains this Sunday. Do you want to go with me? I said, no. I said, why not? I said, I don't want to. I said, I spent so money raising you and you don't want to go. Like, but what little did I want to say?
Immediately the guilt.
I couldn't just say that it's because you're going to question me about my sexuality. I don't feel happy talking about that because you're not going to like it. And before I fully came out, she once called me into her bedroom. It's one of those ominous, when coming to my bedroom. Oh, Jesus. And then she set me down like, my fortune teller told me.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Continue.
Yeah. This is just my life. You know, this is like not every day, but once or twice a year, I will have a conversation starting with my mom saying, so my fortune teller told me.
My mom does the same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
My mom, they don't have fortune tellers in Sweden, so it's more like my cousin sent me a WhatsApp message.
She would go to a fortune teller, and then she would buy this little thing called fu.
Oh, yeah,
Yellow piece of cloth with, like, scriptures on it, and she give it to me. And I take it. I think it's a nice gesture for her. But, sorry, I don't want to hijack your story.
So what did
the fortune teller say?
The fortune teller say, Nigel, what's the English term for your, you know, that the timing of your birth decide your fate? How do you say that in English?
I don't think there's a word for it in English.
So the timing of your birth sort of predetermine a lot your character and what will happen to your life and what you should avoid, what you should try to pursue, or any remedies you can do. Mm-hmm. And my mom say that the fortune teller told her basically the timing of my birth and my character means that I am easily allured to the dark side.
And the dark side being
of
gay.
Sexual interest. She was putting as politely as she could. And then I was like, oh, God, we're going to have this conversation again. Yeah. And she's like, are you gay? Because if you are, you're going to go to hell and burn. And that's why I couldn't forgive her for many, many years. She basically say that if I conduct sort of sodomy, I will go straight to hell. There's no way back. And after that, I made up my mind, say that, and decide to come to the UK for a master's degree and try to find a job here. So the rest is history. So that was the early bit of my mom trying to question me. And it's after, I think, the second year I was working and I went back to Taiwan for a family visit. My mom confronted me again. And this time, knowing I have a place to go back to in London, I lost it. I said, yes. I said, are you gay? I said, yes. And my mom took my surprise. She didn't say, fine, give me your sperm then. So I was engulfed in anger, and then she make a very practical suggestion. I was shocked. I said, what? She then say, if you're not gonna marry a woman, I at least deserve a grandson. She didn't say grandchildren. Woo! She said grandson.
Wow. Yeah? But you're the second oldest boy.
Yes.
And she already has a grandson from your brother.
At that time, my brother got married, but my nephew wasn't born yet. But I'm not the only kid. Because Evelyn was talking about a very important concept in the Chinese culture is not to end the offspring. But put in Jiahou. So your duty is to pass on the family
line. Family name.
Family name.
A family name.
Yeah. And so in theory, my mom shouldn't worry so much about it. But first, she's a business woman. She's a control freak. And secondly, despite me being not the eldest one, I look more like her. And I did better at school. I did much, much better than my brother at school.
So that's why your sperm is more high quality.
Yeah. High quality.
Great A, Wagyu Bellissimo. Beef sperm.
Yeah. Premium G's. Yeah.
Did you give it?
Of course not. But I'm also a practical person because this concept of making your parents happy, being submissive, how do you translate in English? I don't think there's a word.
Filial piety. That's what they say. Xiao shun.
Yeah. And no one would get it. So it's not just listen to your parent. It's to being attentive to them, to make them happy, to make sure you pay back everything they've ever done to you. It's a very strong concept.
You have an obligation to the family, because I think you pointed out something very important, which is the Western society is very individualistic.
Yes.
It promotes and encourages, you know, self-actualization and stuff for the individual. Whereas Eastern culture is very family oriented. Everything you do is for the core of your family, and you have an obligation rather than to pursue something individual.
The culture difference you're saying, whenever I tell the same story from my mom, my Western friend will be in complete horror, say, your mom sounds like psycho. But my Asian friend typically would say, but she's your mom after all.
Yeah.
It's always different, very different
exactly.
response.
And also I would say that's probably why you're still in touch, because I think if you were white, you probably wouldn't have spoken to her.
Yeah, but you have to be fair. Like, my mom can be a bit strict and it's kind of horrible to me, but she also support me through my study.
Exactly. Yeah. And also in her way, like, this was her way of trying to help as
yes.
well. And also
she thinks she's making a compromise for your
yeah,
sake.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is there are other Taiwanese people I know, typically around my age or slightly older, not the younger one. The younger one more like much, much braver to just like stand up, even get interviewed on a TV as a gay person.
Oh, wow.
And their parents would be like, a friend of mine is really lucky. I think I've told a story elsewhere before. So he thought about coming out, but he was afraid to. His parents knew, like they knew for ages. So they've done so much research waiting for him to come out.
That's so sweet.
I know. And finally, one day when he was dumped by one of his sort of ex-boyfriend and he cried in his mom's arms, "Mom, something I need to tell you, I'm gay." And then his mom's like, "We know, but are you top or bottom? Because that..."
"Because son, you need to be top."
Yeah. No.
You're not going to embarrass us.
Not in that case. It's just that they've having done so much research, it's lingering curiosity on their minds. Like, oh, we know so much about her son, but this is like a missing piece. Like, I think what they have in mind is that, should we see our gay son as a son or a daughter? I know. Maybe that's where they're coming from. But the timing of it, my friend was still, the tears went down his eye. He was laughing.
So funny.
But I didn't have that luxury.
I have to say, though, because your mom, you know, comes across as contact. We get the context, right? She's like a ruthless businesswoman.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have had this very good life if she wasn't one.
Yeah, and I think when I was young, I was quite ungrateful because you can't have it all.
Yeah.
That if I wanted a very liberal Western mom,
you'd be poor as shit. She'd be an artist.
Come on, Nigel. I have enough intellect to be an accountant, so I'll be fine. But what I'm saying is I would still be paying back my student loan. I think that's one example.
So it's good to be gay and rich, man. I'll take that. I'm straight and poor. I'll be gay and rich in Asia,
You have
Nigel,
an Asian.
You can definitely be gay and rich.
Yeah, I would love to have the san gao, you know, the three highs. Yeah.
London Asian. Aspiring comic speaking here, hi.
If you're an agent listening, sign Kwan Wen. He has a lot of great stories.
Funny.
Yeah, very funny as well. Yeah, I want to ask one more thing. I'm just curious. Would you ever want to pursue stand-up in Taiwan? Because it's really booming there right now.
I know. I think a lot of people in Taiwan, they've been taking big American stand-ups video clip and then adding subtitles. And they will lower the speed so that Taiwanese people can understand it much, much more. So there's a lot of video clips with Bill Burr and Louis C.K. with Chinese subtitles and being watched by Taiwanese people. And they finally fell in love with this art form. The traditional way of doing it, xiangsheng, is very old-fashioned. There's
kind of like people. Vaudeville.
Vaudeville. Yeah. Two people. Also, you kind of are expected to speak in a uber Beijing accent, kind of Mandarin. Yeah. Just sounds old-fashioned. And this casual way of talking is incredibly charming to the modern audience. And I think Taiwan's young people like to catch up with the world, like being living a life that's quite Western. You and also set us aside from the Chinese. It's like, whatever they can't achieve, we're going to get it. Right. They're not tolerant. We'll be as tolerant as we can.
Yes.
That's great. I do find Taiwanese Mandarin much easier to understand.
Yeah, they're speaking
Beijing
properly.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I just understand Taiwanese.
But Taiwanese
Mandarin,
Mandarin accent changed so much. Because initially, well, I have this line sometimes too that according to Chinese people, Taiwanese men sound like women and Taiwanese women sound like whores. Because we speak with very, very soft. Very soft tone. It comes from the fact that the base is sort of southern dialect from China. And Mandarin is supposed to be a dialect from Beijing. So they have the influence from the old Mongolian. And the way they speak is all feel like military, like an army. But the southern dialect is very melodious and sort of fluid.
Is that how whores sound like? Melodious and fluid?
No, and that bit I think is a Japanese influence. So Taiwanese girl like to sound cute.
Kawaii.
So not whores, like little schoolgirls.
No. Whores in Asia sound like that.
Yeah, that's
you know, if you
like
are
little schoolgirls.
If you are a prostitute in the Western world, do not attempt that. You will not get customers.
How do you know whores like in Asia sound like that?
So
they want to be attractive to Asian men, right?
Okay,
how do you know?
Give me a sentence. I'll try to do it in my understanding of a Mandarin accent from Beijing and a Taiwanese girl.
Okay. Hi, soldier.
小哥哥，你长得很帅。
Awesome.
How would you translate that?
I don't
say it in English.
You look really hey, you're a good-looking man.
Oh, let me say, but yeah. That guy looks kind of cute.
Okay, that guy looks kind of cute. Let's do it.
Okay, so I imagine a northern Chinese girl would say, so something like that.
Yep. That doesn't sound horrid at all. My dick just went limp.
You're right. Again, yeah, a Taiwanese girl. I'm doing it like a comic exaggerated, like caricature. See?
Yeah, that's very,
something like that.
Does yeah. sound very harsh.
But not every Taiwanese girl do that, but you're yeah. allowed to. Like socially, you're even encouraged to do that.
But that's how they women in like HK dramas and like, Korean dramas, they have that tone of like, "Oh, bushum bum bum." Like,
yeah, but the Cantonese ones
are
like, much louder.
Yeah, they're louder, yeah.
Hey, ho ling zai a.
Wow, ke ho lang zai wo.
That's when how we tell when someone's probably stationed in China a bit too long. They come back and they shout
and they're
too loud.
Harsh.
No, yeah. The way they call the waiters like in the restaurant. Fu ya! That's someone who's staying in Shanghai.
Do you sound more like a whore, please?
No, but Taiwanese
so rude. Like a whore.
Taiwanese would say something like, "Xianxian, boys, excuse me, I'm really sorry to just have a picture, but can I have your attention for a little while?" It's a very sort of different demeanor. Japanese. Why are we onto this?
I love it. I don't know. No, I just like hearing that. It reminds me of all the Taiwanese dramas I used to, like Liu Xinghua Yuan, Meteor Garden or something, and all the women are like,
Yeah, very soft spoken. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love how this is how whores sound in Taiwan. It's a wonderful country.
That is misunderstanding from Chinese people, that I'm saying.
Yeah.
But even after living in London so much, when I go back, I find it too much sometimes. This is sort of
the too cutesy.
Or because the attention from people who wait you at the table, just like, "Is everything okay? Are you having a good time tonight?" It's just too much sleep.
You mean here, that they do it here?
I'm used to bad service in London, so I cannot cope with level of attention from you guys. Polite attitude.
We've talked about that. Like, bad service is the best because you can just enjoy your food and leave.
That's
as
how
as you
confident
want.
They are in their food.
Exactly.
If you're going to abuse you, you're still going to come back.
Yeah, the worse service, the better food.
Oh, Taiwan is having quite a good rap on your show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we love Taiwan.
Do you have anything coming up, Kwan Wen?
Yes. Comedy Gobbledygook is a monthly comedy night in Bermondsey, but be aware your iPhone may be stolen on the way to the venue.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Bermondsey is a bit of like a moped issues is ongoing.
Did you get your phone
Not
stolen?
Not me, but my tech support. Yeah, got his iPhone stolen when he was waiting for his cab on the side of the road.
Oh, be careful, God. People.
Not a really good promotion for my night.
It's a fun night, but it's, keep your phones in your pockets.
What night's it on, your comedy night?
It normally is the second Tuesday of the month in Bermondsey.
So if you live around that area, go check it out.
Evelyn, you know, when you came and you asked whether I knew that gook was a racial slur, I didn't. So when I created the Twitter account for Comedy Gobbledygook, initially I just said Comedy Gook because Comedy Gobbledygook is too long for Twitter, right? And after UK, I panicked. I said, "What? Did I just create a racial slur account?" And people probably thought I was being ironic. But eventually, I work out, thanks to Google, how to change your Twitter handle. And I'll change it to Comedy GBD. Thank you very much. I just need to thank you for that. I was like, oh, God.
That's okay. Yeah.
Comedy gook.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Because, I mean, when you say gobbledygook, it's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense, of course. But then I thought gook is more used in America.
I thought so. That's why a lot of people were not aware. But on my logo, gobbledygook, gobbledy was one color. And my graphic designer leave gook in a different color. And I had to say, quick, just send a logo, I change it. Just one color.
He made it yellow. He put like two big teeth there, a little like Fu Manchu mustache.
No, gobbledy was orange. Gobbledy was orange and gook is shiny white. Like, Jesus Christ, is it not obvious?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I have Soho Theatre coming up February 3rd to the 8th. I'll be doing my solo show, Culture Shocked, that I brought up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So if you want to come, please buy tickets.
And I have a work in progress at the Vault Festival on February 5th. So what you guys need to do is go to Nigel Shows 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, and then come to mine on the 5th.
Yes, do that. Hey. If you like the podcast, remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes and leave us a review if you can. If you're on Android, that website will be Stitcher. If you don't like the podcast, don't leave a non-5-star review.
And don't tell anybody.
Tell your enemies.
Tell
them a hard time. Yeah.
Tell other Asian people. And we're all on social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Mr. Nigel Ng.
Yep.
Kwan Wen.
Huang.
How do you say your
Kwan
handle?
Kwan Wen underscore Huang.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then me at Evelyn Mock. Find us there.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey friends, thanks for listening. If you like the podcast, feel free to head on over to our Patreon page. Link is in the show notes. If you're not in a position to give, just leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. A nice one, please. And I'll see you next week. Bye.